Let me just quick show of hands as we get started this morning. How many of you are a gardener? How many of you love to garden? Some of you? How many of you are, Fatty does, how many of you are like me that like to, you know, reap the benefits of other people's gardens? Yeah, you know, let you guys do all the hard work, and I get to be a beneficiary of that. Brandy and I, we have this fun tradition that we do in the spring, early summer, where we get really excited about a garden, and we plant it, and then by about July, we think to ourselves, well, what a waste of time. Well, they've got tomatoes for sale somewhere else. And so that's our fun tradition that we have as a family that we've done for now 12 years, and it's been great for us, and I invite you to participate along in that if you would like to. Jesus this morning is going to share with us something that in his day and age would have been so relevant to their life. He's going to talk about vines and grapes. Some of you might have grown grapes at some point in your life. If not, you're still familiar with the concept. If you plant something and you keep that thing watered and you keep that thing in good shape, and fruit is going to be produced. And so that's what Jesus is going to kind of show us today, because whole industries, right? And you know this, you don't need a preacher to tell you this. Entire industries, especially in America, have been built on and have gained millions of dollars answering this question: how can I become a better version of me? That's the question that everybody asks. Because all of us know, this is where I am, this is where I would want to be, and there's a gap between the two. And so entire self-help sections of bookstores, man, how can I be a better version of me? At New Year's, everybody asks that question, man, how can I be a better version of me? And the challenge is that we can discipline ourselves for a little while, but we've had this experience, right, where we say, yes, I know that there's a gap between the way that I am and the way that I want to be, and so I'm going to really try hard, and I'm going to really grit my teeth, and for a while, we do change. But for most of us, isn't it true that we go back to the way that we were? We go back to the, man, I just get caught back into that habit. The great news that Jesus is going to share with us today is that real and lasting change is possible. And through faith in Jesus, not only is it possible, it is something that is almost automatic if we take seriously what Jesus is saying. But it goes beyond self-discipline, because my self-discipline can take me so far, but then after a while, I kind of fade back into that person that I don't really want to be. Sometimes I do some marriage counseling, and men and women will come up, and I'm not a good marriage counselor by any stretch of the imagination, and the husband or the wife will say, man, if he doesn't do this or if she doesn't stop doing this, I'm going to leave them and we're going to get a divorce. And so the husband or the wife, they hear that for the first time, and so they start to make some promises. Okay, I will be nicer. Yes, I'm going to be a better person. Yes, I'm going to put my socks in the laundry. I'm going to start taking out the trash. I'm not going to be quite as quick-tempered. I'm going to control the things that I say. And out of fear, they say, I'm going to really do it. And maybe for a month or two or six, man, they're right. And from the outside, it looks like this person has made such a huge change in their life. But then as that kind of external pressure kind of comes off, and maybe we find ourselves in a rhythm in our marriage again, oftentimes those habits sneak back in. Why is that? And more importantly, what is the solution? Well, Jesus gives us the Christian insight into this, that if you're following Jesus, that there can be real and lasting change, and it's not outside in, it's inside out. And so I'm just going to read John chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. The words are going to be up here on the screens if you want to follow along there. And we're going to discover in these words, and something that all of us, we can all do this, that we are all able to put our hands around this and have real lasting change. John chapter 15, 1 through 8, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. And so if we want to change, we discover from these eight verses a few things that all of us, again, can grab a hold of. This is something that all of us can participate in. This is really, honestly, this isn't like Christianity 401. This is Christianity 101. This is what it looks like to have faith in Jesus. So here's the first one. If you're having to be taking notes or if you're following along, that change is, number one, it's personal. Change is personal. John chapter 15, verses 1 and 2 says, I am the true vine. My Father is the gardener. So there's connection there. Then he says this, and it's startling almost. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. And so it is possible, what Jesus is saying, is it's possible to be in proximity to Jesus without being connected to Jesus. It's possible to know the routines and to know the rhythms without experiencing the change that Jesus brings. The context of this, and maybe you're already familiar, but Jesus had just finished his dinner with his disciples in the upper room, and maybe you remember, at the end of that dinner, Judas, one of the disciples, goes to betray Jesus. This conversation is happening likely while Jesus is walking. Chapter 15 and 16, Jesus is likely walking with his disciples. Chapter 17, we find him in the Garden of Gethsemane. So this is the backdrop, is that all of a sudden there's this tension and there's this the things that Jesus is saying, and one of the 12 that used to be here is no longer here. We're going to later discover he's betrayed Jesus. And what was Judas? Judas was close, but not connected. He was close in proximity, but distant in relationship. And so if I'm going to change, it's not about knowing the rhythms and knowing the routines and having the tradition. It's I want to be connected. And a lot of people, in our world especially, they lean on, well, I was baptized as a child, or I grew up in church, or, well, I'm a pretty good church attender. And those are all wonderful things. But those are not connected things. Those are proximity things. Those are things that say, I know about Jesus and I know about faith, but it's not really impacting my life personally. When John the Baptist was baptizing and Jesus kind of comes and he gets baptized, there's this great story from Matthew's gospel, if you want to follow along, Matthew chapter 3, where John the Baptist sees these Pharisees and he sees these religious people and they're trying to check this thing out. And in their mind, they think, I'm in good with God, because of who my parents are and what my bloodline is, and I do all the right things, and I know all the rules, I know when to stand, I know when to sit. I'm in good with God. And John the Baptist looks at these externally religious, really good-looking people, and he says this. People went out to him from Jerusalem and all Judea and the whole region of the Jordan, confessing their sins. So there were some people that, I want to get connected to God. I recognize I'm a sinner. There's separation between me and God, so I'm going to confess my sins. And they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. Compare that then, he saw many of the Pharisees, the Sadducees. These are religious leaders coming to where he was, baptizing. And he said to them, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. So don't just know the right things, that it's the fruit that matters. It is the result of your life that makes all of the difference. And do not think that you can say to yourself, man, we've got Abraham as our father. In other words, they're saying, man, I'm good with God. I mean, I'm as Jewish as they come. I know all the rules. I keep all the rules. God and me are good. John says, no. It's not knowing things, it's connected. There were some people that didn't know the rules, didn't do the right thing, and they confessed that. And John said, yes, that's the answer. To lay yourself at the feet of God saying, this is who I am, and I'm throwing myself at the mercy of who you are. And then there's these other people that think, man, I'm in good shape. He says, no, you're a brood of vipers. We have Abraham as our father. I tell you that out of these stones, God can raise up children of Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. And so if we're going to have change, it's more than just I know the things. Because right, for many of us, not all of us, but for many of us in the room, right, we've kind of grown up in church. We know when to stand, we know when to sit, we know when to smile. There's lots of things that we know. But if Jesus was telling us the truth, and if John was telling us the truth, that knowledge is not actually that important. It is, what is my heart like? Proximity to Jesus is not the same thing as closeness to Jesus. That I can be in proximity, I can be on the outside, do all the right things, but if my roots are not connected into him, there's no change that is gonna happen. So change that's lasting is personal, but also it's, and this is the tough one, it's painful. And this is the one that nobody wants, but this is the one we're gonna spend the most of our time on this morning. That if I'm gonna have real lasting change because of Jesus, it starts with it's personal, I'm connected to him, not just know about him, but it's also painful. Verse number 2, he cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, that they're just close but not connected. But while every branch that does bear fruit, so the people that have thrown themselves on the mercy of God, what does he do to them? He prunes so that, here's a purpose statement, it will be even more fruitful. So while I was studying this week, I know nothing about vineyards and grapes, and so I went to my good friend YouTube, and I YouTubed pruning grapes. Let me tell you, I don't know if you've ever watched people prune grapes. It's so aggressive. I mean, from an outsider's perspective, it looks to me like you are ruining that plant. I mean, the chaos around you and these branches are being thrown and what to me looks like good, healthy plants, the gardener is just cutting and taking away and removing. And that's what Jesus is saying here. But why does the gardener do that? The gardener understands this is what's in the best interest of the plant. That I am invested in the plant's success. I'm invested in the plant's growth. And so I am willing to cut off some things and to remove some things in the short term so that the long-term fruit is going to be able to produce. And that is painful. Then nobody signs up for God. Can you just chop some things away from me? Can you take some things away from me? And in the moment, it seems so painful. It seems so unkind and it seems so unloving. But Jesus says, I do it so that it will be even more fruitful. In other words, the gardener, he never removes anything that wouldn't have been a loss to keep and a gain to lose. That if God in his kindness would have allowed some things to stay in our life, it would have actually been a loss for us. And there was some things that in the moment I feel, this is so wrong and it's so painful and it's so hard, it was actually a gain for me. And so my willingness to allow God to prune me, for allow God to look into my life and say, Kyle, that part of you, the way that you act when you're angry and the way that you behave when you're stressed and the things that you think and the things that you do, that is keeping you from becoming as fruitful as you could be. And so I'm gonna come in and I'm gonna cut that off. And it is painful. I mean, that hurts. I liked that. I wanted to be in part of that. I wanted to be involved in that. But it's for my good. And here's how he does it. That he says, I'm not just interested in the moment right here. As I was watching that video, right? This gardener lady was saying, I'm gonna cut this off. And the reason I'm cutting it off is not even for this season. It's for the season after this one. That I'm cutting this off so that later on, we won't see any results of that today. But next year, this is gonna be so much better. It's the same in our life. That in my life, my future fruitfulness is determined by my present willingness to be pruned. And nobody signs up for that. Nobody says, yeah, I'm ready. Come on, take as much as you want because it's so painful. But Jesus does it in love. Somebody says, I was studying this week, there was this great quote that said, the gardener is never closer to the plant than when he's pruning it. Because you can water from a distance, you can fertilize from a distance, but in order to prune, you've got to get right up and close to it. And so what we think is, man, is God angry at me? Is God frustrated? Is God punishing me? Oftentimes it's God's love saying, I want you to be so fruitful And so I'm going to remove some things from you that from your perspective look great, but in your long run is actually better. The author of Hebrews said it this way, that they discipline us, talking about dads, while they thought was best. But God, he disciplines us. Why does he do it? For our good, in order that we may share with his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time. It's painful. Later on, it's not just about the here and the now. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those that have been trained by it. And here's how we're pruned. We're pruned through the word of God. That is, as you come here and gather, and as you have your own time, as you study the word, God in his kindness will point out some things in our life and say, man, this is not lining up with my word. And this is not lining up with the way that I want you to think and the way that I want you to talk and the way that I want you to act. And so we are it's almost like this spotlight that's on me. It says, this is a thing that I need to prune. Now, I can slap away the pruner's hand. I can say, no, I don't want that. I just want kind of the comfortable, we're all easy, we're all fine, we're all good. But faith in Jesus and fruitfulness as a believer and real lasting chains says, God, if there's some things in me that you want to take away, it's painful, but I'm gonna be willing to say yes. And here's what we have to remember, and this is, again, a little bit difficult for us to even swallow, but if the word of God comforts but never confronts, we cannot be a fruitful Christian. That I am so pro comforting, inspiring Bible verse magnets. I love a good Bible verse bumper sticker. I'm pro all the, there's so many wonderful, inspiring, comforting verses in this. And ones that even people that aren't Christians will put on their fridge and say, yeah, I mean, God's got a plan for me. Yes, I'm there. God's gonna prosper me and not, yes, I like that. But if we limit God's word to just being a comfort to us, and if we never allow it to be a confrontation to us, I just cannot be as fruitful as what God wants me to be. And so yes, allow scripture to be inspiring. And yes, allow it to be comforting in this. Man, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you are with me. What a wonderful comfort. But there's also times where we open up scriptures and it shines a spotlight on my heart and it shines a spotlight on my attitudes. And the gardener in love says, I want you to be more fruitful. I want you to produce more, and so I want to cut this away from you. And so we're invited to pray the way that David prayed, that he says, search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See, God, shine that spotlight on me. I'm willing. I don't want to slap away the gardener's hand. See, is there any offensive way in me? And the answer, by the way, is always yes. The answer is always yes. We will never reach perfection. We are continually being conformed in the image of Christ. And so if we're willing to pray this prayer, God will, over time, this is offensive and this is offensive and this, and God, lead me in the way of everlasting. If you want to have this week a prayer answered, I don't know if you pray, and I don't know if you've ever gotten frustrated that my prayers aren't being answered. I promise you, that prayer will be answered. Search me, know me, point out things in me that are offensive to you. And so if we want to have real lasting change, not just externally motivated change, but change from the inside out, change that lasts, it's got to be personal. Unfortunately, it is going to be painful. Here's a little bit more encouraging part of it. It's continual. So it's personal, it's painful, it's continual. Verse number 4, and there is about 18 weeks of sermons from John chapter 15. We're going to combine it all into one day. So there's so many things we could say, but we're just run through it. Verse number 4 says this: remain. Some translations of your Bible, depending on what translation you're using this morning, might say abide. But remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. And you know, all the gardeners know that nobody just has this random branch with a wonderful harvest of tomatoes. It's got to be connected to something. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain on the vine. Neither can you bear fruit. You cannot have lasting change. You can't have change that's going to keep you sustained unless you remain in me. This is not something that can be shortcut. This is something that it just takes time. That every day I wake up and say, God, as I go into my day, as I go into the office, as I go into parenting, as I go into this meeting, as I go into this career change, as we make the decision to buy the house or sell the house or start the business or move into this other area, whatever it is, I want to remain in you. I don't want my relationship with you to be confined to Sunday mornings 10:15 or 11:15. I don't even want my relationship with you to be confined to my daily devotional time. But every part of my day, I just want to remain in you. Imagine this. Some of you are married or want to be married. There's no such thing as a healthy marriage that spends just 1 hour a week with each other. It can't happen. That healthy marriages require time. Healthy marriages require communication. It requires that we are invested in each other. And there's no shortcut. There's no shortcut to a healthy marriage. It requires time. The same is true when God's presence in our life, as we bear fruit and as we change. I wish so much that I could cross that line of faith and trust in Jesus for my salvation and just a light switch flips and every bad part of me is changed and I never have any more temptations and I never get sucked back into the habit. That's just not reality. The reality is there's a lot of stops and a lot of starts and there's some good days and there's some bad days, but it's just this continual, I am abiding in you. It goes on in verse number 9 and 10, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you, now remain. Don't let our, I'm so glad you're here this morning, but don't let our gathering here today be the only time you connect with your Father. Don't let our gathering here today be the only time that you get connected to the vine, because your fruit will just not really work. It just cannot. That's why you water a plant more than once a week. You fertilize a plant more than just once a week. And plus, you're busy, right? You're not gonna be here 52 Sundays out of the year. You've got lakes to go to and plans to think. You've got a busy life. And so if you are dependent on Sunday mornings for, well, why aren't I more patient? And why aren't I more loving? And why isn't there more joy in my life? It's possible that we need to do some internal examination. Am I remaining or am I just attending? I keep attending. But attending is not the same thing as remaining. I want to abide. And so if I want to have real lasting change, it's personal, it's painful, it's continual. Time plus relationship. That's change. Time takes time. It takes relationship, abiding. That's what change is going to last. Here's the fourth one. Two more, and then we're done for the day. It's inevitable. Change is personal. It's painful. It's continual, but it's inevitable. That the result of abiding, the result of letting the gardener prune things in my life is automatically I start to produce fruit. That the great news of the gospel is that it's not my job to produce fruit. My job is to simply remain. My job is to simply be where the branch is. I'm just the vine. And it's the branch's job to produce fruit in me. It's my job to remain connected to him. Here's what verse number 5 says. I am the vine, you're the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, it's inevitable. You will bear much fruit. But apart from me, it's not gonna happen. Apart from me, it's an organic, wonderful growth. We've said it before, but you've never went to your garden in the summer and heard your tomato vines struggling to produce tomatoes. You've never went out there and saw your tomatoes just really gritting. I've gotta grow. It's just inevitable. If the soil is right, if the branch is good, if it remains connected, it is going to bear fruit. That the branch doesn't get the vine because it's fruitful. Don't get it mixed up. It's fruitful because it's connected to the vine. So don't find yourself saying, okay, I know that I've messed up my life. I know that I've messed up my marriage. I know that things are bad. I bet God's mad at me. And so let me produce some fruit. And then God will be so proud of my fruit that he'll connect himself to me. Backwards. I want to get connected to the branch. I want to get connected to him with all of my flaws and with all of my the wrecks that I've made in my life. I want to get connected to him. And it's through the connectedness. That's the life. That's how I produce fruit. Verse number 16 of John 15 says this. Hey, you didn't choose me. You're not the one that got this whole thing started. God was the initiator of it. And because God was the initiator of it, my job is just, I'm going to remain. I want to be connected to you more than just in my head. I'm going to be connected to you personally in a relationship. If you point out some things to me that need to cut off, I'm going to be willing to do that. I'm going to let it be continual, not just a once in a Sunday or every now and again. It's going to be continual. And then I'm just going to let you bear the fruit in my life. You did not choose me. I chose you, and I appointed you so that you can go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last, not fruit that's just this flash in a pan. Hey, did you see how good I did this week? No, it's that, man, years go by, and people that you maybe hadn't seen for a while, they look at you and they think, man, something's different. You've changed. What's happened? Have you lost weight? Did you get a new self-help book? No, it's just inevitable. I just remained. I was just abiding, and through the abiding, God in his mercy has produced fruit into my life. And so real change, lasting change, change is going to go beyond just that I'm scared she's going to leave me, or I'm scared I'm going to mess this whole thing up. Lasting change, it's personal, it's going to be painful, it's continual, it's inevitable, and then lastly, it's beneficial. It's personal, it's painful, it's continual, it's inevitable. But it's beneficial. If you have a Bible, if you want to turn there, Galatians chapter 5, this is the list of the fruit. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13, then we'll skip down. That you, my brothers and sisters, you were called to be free. So the followers of Jesus, you're called to something. But don't use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. Then the verses that likely you're familiar with. The fruit of the Spirit, what is it? Love, joy, peace, forbearance, another word for that is patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Now, just real quick, take a look at this list. Nope, sorry, go back. Just take a look at this list and tell me, would not the people that you love the most benefit from more of this in your life? Would not the people that you love the most and live with and are most connected with, would they not benefit from more love from you? What would your house look like if it was marked by joy instead of stress? Can you imagine how much better your life would be if the overflow of your life was peace instead of anxiety? What if as you're raising those kids that just drive you absolutely crazy, what if raising your kids was highlighted with forbearance, if it was patience, wouldn't your house benefit from that? What if everybody in your house was kind and chose to be good to each other? What if faithfulness, that I am planted here, I am rooted here, I'm connected here, gentleness, can you imagine how much better your week would have been if it was marked by gentleness instead of anger? If you wouldn't have flown off the handle and lost your temper, wouldn't it have been better? Wouldn't have your family benefited from that? What if you had self-control? Imagine how your life would be better. Your marriage would be better. Your parenting would be better. Kids, your connectedness to your parents, it would be better. This isn't just an adult thing. This is a youth thing. Teenagers, you can do this. It's beneficial. This is what God invites Christians to. Real, lasting, continual, beneficial change. Where are you at on this list? Go to that next slide for me, Kayla. Are you letting God be personal to you? I'm so grateful that you're here. But your being here is not enough. Judas spent 3.5 years with Jesus. And we saw the way that he ended up. He was in proximity, but he wasn't connected. It was, he knew, he heard all of the same things that John heard, saw all the same miracles that John saw, experienced all the same things that the other 11 disciples saw. But he wasn't connected. It wasn't personal. In your life, have you resisted the pruner? Have you resisted where God is pointing out something and saying, that's not right, and you know that's not right, and I want to remove that from you, and you have been, because you're afraid of the pain, slapping away the gardener's shears? Would you do as David did, and it is scary, search me, know me. Lord, if there is anything offensive in me, point it out so that I can bear fruit. Some of you won't be able to be here next week. Some of you might not ever come back, and that's totally fine, because this is not all that there is. Let your relationship with him be continual, and fruit will be inevitable, and it'll be beneficial for the people that you love the most and for you as well. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for your conviction in our life and for your comfort as we go through things that are sometimes painful. Lord, I'm praying for myself, praying for all of us, that if we have been ignoring or running from the gardener's shears, that we know that there's some things that you want to remove that we just have gotten so comfortable with. Lord, with faith in you, trusting that you do have our best interests in mind, would we be willing to be cut, temporarily wounded by you, so that in the long run we would be better off? Lord, I'm praying for those that might have a knowledge of you, they're in proximity but are not connected. Lord, help them to cross that line of faith. Lord, I'm praying for those that they do love you and that they want to be in relationship with you, but the busyness of their life has kind of kept their relationship with you just kind of confined to Sunday mornings or maybe a little devotional time. Lord, would you help all of us? It would be a continual abiding with you every moment of every day that we would ask, God, where are you leading? What are you saying? How are you directing me? And we're so grateful that the fruit will be evident in our life as that happens, and it would benefit the people that we love the most. It's in your name that we pray. Amen.